I want to hear the rest of the story. Serious. I was about to say, can the Lord use a donkey? We are about to find out. let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace, and I thank you for the gift of salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that you chose us and you call us by name. And I'm grateful that we can celebrate the birth of the Messiah, our Savior. And I just pray that today you would fill us with joy and that you would speak to our hearts and that you would mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Are you guys all ready for Christmas? Yes? Kind of no, maybe? So, no, not at all? I'd like to think that I'm ready, but in reality, I'm not. I still have shopping to do, and it's inevitable that I'm always out Christmas Eve shopping and finishing stuff. But for me, it's not a stressful thing. For me, it's actually a joyful thing because I love to take some alone time and go walk the mall, get my Mrs. Fields cookies while I'm, you know, in the mall, and just walk it and hear the Christmas music. And it's something that I do every year just by myself. And then I kind of go and I think about, you know, the gifts that I need to get or I want to get, whatever, and I do that. It's kind of become a tradition in our house, at least for me. That's one of the traditions that I have. But in our household, we have some traditions that we always maintain, and one has been the Advent, and I'm really excited that we're able to bring that here and start sharing that with our new family here and being a part of that. And another tradition that I have, and I don't even know if I want to call it a tradition as much as it's a classic, and it comes in the form of a story, and I want to share the story with you today. And it originated a few years ago, and it was when Faith and Sarah were a little bit younger, and the story is called The Crooked Tree. So I'll read it to you. And again, follow with me. It's an interesting story. Do you guys all have Christmas trees in your house? You know? Yeah? Yes? So, okay, you might appreciate this then. The story begins, "This year, we couldn't wait to get our tree. It seemed as if the Christmas spirit came early in the Gatlin household. Sarah and I ventured out and picked out this big, beautiful tree. And I'm one that always has to have a real tree. You know, it's just something I've grown up with, and we have to have it. And so Sarah and I, we ventured out. We found this awesome tree, and it was priced way too much. But again, I talked the guy down $20, and it was almost a Christmas story relived, right? I was excited. We got it on the car. We got it home. And when we got home, we put the tree, you know, put it in the living room. We turn on, we have a specific jazz Christmas CD that we always play every year, and it's not the same if we don't have that going. So we put on our jazz CD, and then we just went to town. We started the process. So I laid the tree down, cut off a few of, the inches of the trunk, filled it with water, tightened it into the stand, and then became the wonderful task of the lights. And again, I like to have just all white lights on my tree. And so, you know, untangling and going through the process of putting up the lights, it's kind of a bittersweet experience for me. But and then the kids did their part of decorating, and before we knew it, the house was done. It was festive, the Christmas spirit was flowing, and we decided to go out and run a few errands. And when we got home, we came in the front door and we found this big, beautiful surprise awaiting us. Our amazingly fully decorated Christmas tree had somehow crashed up against the front window. I didn't know what to do. I tried to straighten out the tree and retighten the stand with no luck. It just kept falling into the window. So I gently laid the tree on the floor, spilling out all the water onto the carpet, dropping off all the precisely hung ornaments, and trimmed a few branches from the bottom and sawed off another couple of inches from the trunk. I secured the tree back into the stand, set it up straight, tightened the bolts, but it still would not stand up straight. No matter what I tried, it didn't work. So I did what any man would do. I got creative, and I propped it up. I took a crowbar from the garage that I had. No one would see it under the tree. And with a little ingenuity, voila, the tree was standing up straight. I was excited. I stood there proudly, gave it a few tugs in each direction, placed the beautiful homemade skirt around the bottom. No one could see the crowbar, and all was good. We were ready to go. So we cleaned up the needles, soaked up the water, reset the ornaments that fell off when I laid it on the floor. Everything was perfect, and again, you couldn't see the crowbar. I was pretty excited. Problem was solved, or so I thought. 2 days later, Stacy calls me at work, and she told me that our big, beautiful tree decided to take another nap. For no apparent reason, it suddenly crashed up against the window again. It was too big for her to lift, so she had Faith just lay it down again, dropping the ornaments, spilling the water, and I would have to fix it when I get home from work. I couldn't believe it. I sat at work. I stewed. All my hard work, my awesome MacGyver move, turned out to be an epic fail. I sat there trying to consider, how do I fix this problem? Well, after thinking, I knew what I had to do. 5 o'clock came. I stopped by the place where I had purchased the tree and bought the biggest stand that they had. And I got the sweetest deal on it. Guess how much it cost? $20. Great deal, right? Well, I raced home, threw the stand in the living room, and Stacy and I left for church. If we left right then, we might have a few minutes early before our Wednesday night prayer meeting started, and I would just have to fix the tree when I got home. We got to church in time to spare, and we had a great time of fellowship. Well, that night I had forgotten that I had made an appointment with a member after the prayer meeting, so I dropped Stacy off at home, and I went to the appointment. It would just have to wait till I got home. So at 2 a.m., I got home from my appointment, and I walked into the front room to this mess. The tree sprawled out all over the floor, pine needles all over, water everywhere. It was a disaster, and I stood there contemplating, what do I do? Do I go to sleep at 2:30 in the morning, or do I break out the tools and fix it? Within minutes, Stacy came down to the noise of a drill. We chatted as I went to work. And I wasn't trying to screw the tree into the floor, although the thought did cross my mind. After a short time, the tree was firmly on the stand, but there was a slight problem. You see, the new stand I purchased was one of those that's a big bucket that has a spike in the middle of it, and you have to set the tree onto the spike. Well, after a super long day, and now the wee early hours of the morning, I tried my best to drill the hole straight. Well, once I placed the tree up on the stand, you guessed it, I had the Leaning Tower of Treza. It was not straight. So talk about being defeated. Here it is, almost 3 in the morning. I have a leaning tree, but at least it's securely fastened to the stand and it's not going anywhere. It would just have to do. So we left it, and that year we had this leaning tree. It was difficult, and I was angry at the stinking tree. No matter what I did, it didn't turn out right. So, end the story. That year again, you walked into the front room, and you see this beautiful tree that's kind of got a tilt, and it had a funny story, right? And I love this story. I didn't love it at the time, but as I look back now, I think it's hysterical. And me being who I am, every story that I come across or every experience, I have to find some kind of a spiritual application. And I think, having been a pastor for so many years, there's something that Charles Spurgeon taught me a long time ago. And he has a little tiny book called A Sermon in Candles. And my pastor had given it to me, and he says, I want you to read this. And I said, okay. So I read it. And Spurgeon had taught that he was looking at a Christmas tree, and he saw this light, and then he went back to where, you know, the lights came from on the trees, being little candles and representing the stars being seen through the trees. And he wrote this big, beautiful sermon out of a candle. And then his point at the end of the book was that there's a sermon in everything. Everything around us, there's application. There's God speaking to us. And so as I reflected on the story of this crooked tree, I tried to find what was the application for me, God? I mean, obviously, there's a reason for this, and what is it? And I started thinking about this crooked tree and my relationship with Jesus, and how do these two coincide? And the first question that came to my mind was, have you ever found yourself in the same position in your walk with Christ that no matter what you do, you still come out crooked? It still doesn't, you know, turn out the way you planned. No matter how much effort you put into something, how much you want your will, you want your way, you think the way that things should go, eventually it turns out completely opposite. Or it turns out that you're just like, God, what are you doing? What's happening here? I don't understand this. Why is it sometimes so hard to be a Christian? You know, myself and countless others have asked this very question. Did Jesus ever say that it would be easy? You know, did he ever promise that we would be without trials or persecution or hard times? Never, not once. We're told in James 1, 2 through 5, and I hate this verse. Think about it. Can I say that? I can say that, right? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Stop. Consider it joy whenever you face trials, hardships. I can tell you, and I can confess to you, at 3 o'clock in the morning that night, trying to fix that tree, joy was the farthest thing from from my mind. I was not happy. In fact, I wanted to just take the tree and just throw it through the window and call it done. Consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that, here's the hard part, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance develops maturity so that we're not lacking anything. How about 2 Corinthians 12:10 that says, this is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So did Jesus ever promise us that things were going to be easy? No. And I actually, when I was writing this, I thought of Wednesday's workout, I think we had. That was brutal. It was hard. And it was Ken and I, and I jokingly said, you know, I've been working out for a year and a half, and I don't know what I've been doing, because I was in there for 12 minutes, and I was dead. I left there, and I thought, what? You know, for when I'm weak, then I am strong, right? Sometimes we have to go through this pain in order to come out stronger. You know, pain develops strength. Jesus told us we can expect difficult times. And what I love, though, is, you know, Steve told us the story this morning, and he stopped at a dark moment. You know, I was kind of like, I really contemplated, saying, dude, just forget my sermon, man. I want to hear the rest of the story, because I want to leave here, you know, knowing that, okay, I think I know where the story's going. I've never heard it, but I can guess. So now I'm coming. I'm going to be there, and we're going to hear the story. But Jesus tells us, you know, some heavy things that if we're not persevering through the word, we could maybe leave defeated. You know, I certainly felt defeated when I came in and saw the tree sprawled out on the floor. Now, I could have just scrapped it, you know, and what was really sad, and this is a little bit of a side note, have you ever found yourself saying, oh, I don't want to be like my parents, right? None of us want to be like our parents, right? Well, I specifically remember one Christmas not too long ago, you have to tell me if you remember this, when we went to my dad and my mother's house in Arizona, and I walked up to see my, I'm embarrassed to say this, I walked up to see my dad and mother's Christmas tree, and my dad had literally taken fishing wire, tied it around the tree, you know, tacked it to this side of the wall, tacked it to this side of the wall to get this thing to stand up straight. And then I was horrified when I was writing this going, I've turned into my dad. I'm propping it up with a crowbar. I mean, I'm making fun of his fishing wire, and here I've got a crowbar under my tree. It's sad. Anyway, so Jesus doesn't leave us in the dark. You know, we see this, that yes, we're going to have trials, we're going to struggle, it's going to be difficult, but he tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:17, For our momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So this trial that you may be going through, this thing we're suffering, this hardship we're enduring, is yet a momentary light affliction. You know, a lot of people will say the Bible says, hey, this too shall pass. We don't ever really see that direct line written in Scripture anywhere. Where they get that from is this passage right here, for our momentary affliction, this light affliction. So whatever trial you're going through, whatever hardship you face, it's just a moment. It's just a light affliction compared to the eternal glory that's going to be revealed. And so Jesus tells us, hey, hang in there. This is going to pass. This is not as hard as you think it is. Trust me that I've got you in this. He knows that there's times where we're going to struggle. He knows when we get tired and we're weary. In fact, in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you guys know what that yoke is? Do you see that intimate picture that Jesus gives you and I individually right there? When you have, you see those pictures of the pioneers with the two ox, and the ox have that big piece of wood joining them together, and they're plowing or they're carrying a wagon or something. They usually have an adult ox next to a young ox, and they put them together in this yoke so that the young ox can learn and submit and be with that full-grown ox, and it can teach them how to serve and how to do this. And Jesus uses that for you and I. He's like, look, take my yoke upon. Let me carry that. Learn from me. Watch from me. Do what I do, and let me carry the big load, and you just follow with me. I love that. That's intimate. Because he doesn't say, look, you know what, I'm just going to make sure you're going to be okay from a distance. He's right there with us through everything that we're going through. He gives us a way to make it through hard times. Not that it's going to be easy, but that we can lean on him to carry us. So here, Jesus goes tree shopping, and he finds you and I. He took us. He made us his own. He brings us into his kingdom, and we're told in Ephesians 2:19-22, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and member of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So Jesus grafts us into his family, but before we can live there with him, before we can really be in his kingdom, he's got to prune off the dead branches. He has to smooth out the rough edges. You know, you see sometimes how Christmas trees are just these perfect, triangular, awesome little things. Well, they don't grow that way. You know, they grow all crazy, and the people trim it up and they make it look really pretty so that we'll want to buy it. And here, God takes it's his job to prune us, to shape us, to cut off the dead branches, the stuff that doesn't produce fruit, the stuff we struggle with. And what I love the most is it's his job to cut the trunk of our lives off so that we can absorb the water, the living water. And we can't do it unless he does that work. We need him to trim us and to prune us and to put us in a place where we can absorb the word, where we can receive it. And then he takes this tree, he takes you and I, and he puts us on the stand. We don't have to worry about it. You know, we can trust him, right? He puts us on the firm foundation of Christ. And we still might be a little crooked, and we're going to stumble, and we might crash and burn on occasion, but we're always going to be on that foundation. And though we may be shaken, we may be pressed against or weathering a storm, we can never be removed from that foundation as long as we have Christ in our lives. And I love this. Again, Isaiah 28:16, this says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. So I want you to think about maybe the trials you might be going through, the struggles you're having. Don't be dismayed, because again, you're on the cornerstone, Jesus. He's your foundation. He's your rock. And, you know, this blasted tree caused me nothing but grief. You know, I couldn't help but look at it. And I'm such a perfectionist. Every time I'd come walking down that stairs and I'd look in there, I'd go, oh! You know, it was a beautiful tree and the kids had decorated it and they did their thing and it was this sweet thing. And all I could see was this crooked tree. And I'm like, well, maybe I can shim under the stand. You know, every time I looked at it, I still kept trying to figure out a way to straighten that thing. And yet, my best efforts couldn't do it. Couldn't get it. And I knew that if I started monkeying around with it, it was gonna crash again. So I had to just accept the imperfections. You and I, we have to accept this flesh. We're in it. We can't change it. And we don't have the power to change it. We need God to do that for us. And, you know, the tree didn't cooperate, and sometimes I don't cooperate with God. My best efforts couldn't get that tree to stand up. And you know what? My best efforts will never get me into heaven. And that's something we have to remember. Don't live your life based on a conditional relationship of trying to please God and keep Him happy. If I just read, if I just pray, if I just do this, if I just do this, then God's going to be happy. And I'm going to be right with Him. If you've accepted Christ, if you've asked Him into your heart, you're right with Him. And then it just becomes a job of surrendering your will to His and letting Him do the work. That's the hard part. And we have to learn how to trust Him for that. And I think about, you know, it wasn't until I put that tree on that stand, that final stand where it stood. You and I need Christ as our final stand, as our firm foundation. We need that in order to stand, because we're going to face trials. We're going to face the storms. And if we're not on that stand, if we're not in Him, we'll never make it. So I want to leave you with one final verse today, and it's from Romans 8:28. And the reason I share this is because I want you to know that you can trust God in every circumstance you're in right now. Whether it's a difficult, whether you're struggling, whether you have sin, or whether you're, whatever it is that you might be going through in your life, you can trust Him, because we know Romans 8:28, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lord of hosts. He gives us joy. And I love what Lisa said about, you know what, He has joy. Do you ever think that when you think about your relationship with God, that He smiles when He thinks about you? You bring Him joy. You bring God joy. And that is amazing. And today I want you to leave here knowing that you bring God joy, and you can have that joy. And even in the hardest of trials, you can trust Him that He's going to see you through it. So I hope that you go and you can come tonight and you can hear the rest of the story, and then we'll be filled with joy, because we know that God's not going to leave this little donkey in the dirt. So we can find joy in that. We can find joy in lighting our Christ candle on Christmas Eve and sharing some intimate time before, you know, all of the celebrations begin. And I just hope that you can trust Him no matter what you're going through, and just lean on Him, and He'll carry you through. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, I do thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the foundation that we have been given in the Bible, that we can trust Your Word, that we know that it's true. It's never been misinterpreted, God. It's never gone astray. We know that You are the same today, yesterday, tomorrow, forever. And I thank You, Lord, that we can lean on Your Word. I thank You, God, for Your promises that ring true for every single one of us. And I pray that You would, Lord, relieve us of the burdens that we've been carrying. I pray that You would show us, God, where we're trying to lean on our own strength and our own efforts, and that You would teach us how to just surrender to You, to trust You. Lord, I pray that You would teach us how to lean on You instead of on our works. Lord, deliver us from worry. Deliver us from struggling with all the things that we go through. And I pray that you would be glorified, that you would set us free, that you would fill us with joy, and that you would empower us, Lord, to live a bright, shining life for you. And I just thank you for this time and for this family, and I thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.